Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the NCWCC Blog Talk Radio Show Forum. You're with your host, Kareem Ali, with the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction. We are airing live from Stone Mountain, Georgia. We have been hosting shows from different satellite offices, so that's been a very interesting thing. So welcome to the May 6, 2009 show. And I would like to everybody know that the Youth Bill Foundation Blog Talk Radio show is going very well. We hope for people to come and incorporate their children to be involved in the Youth Build, the National Youth Build, and then we're building an International Youth Build program. And certainly we want to have everyone participate as much as possible, but we want to continue to thank our two and three leading individuals that are hosting the show. We have Queen Brewster and Lusamaka Obiachi and Reese Dillard. And I think their show airs at 10 o'clock. I think that's Eastern Standard Time. But please call in that number for your young folks to participate and understand what's going on and talking to about issues is very important. That number is 646-478-0286. Again, that's 646-478-0286. Today is a very interesting show. We've actually toned down the broadcast to about 55 minutes an hour, and due to a lot of the contractors are working, and it's the height of the season. But one of the things that we want to share with you is some national news as well, which makes very good sense to us as being a national organization. We want to thank our partners around the country that has allowed us to participate on a national level with being a part of the tradeswomen and non-traditional trades. The organization that I'm speaking about is Chicago Women in the Trades, which was founded by Lauren Sugarman about 30 years ago. And with that, that has brought a lot of change in our industry for women in the northern states. However, the southern states are tremendously crippled due to the, I guess, the delicacy of moving women into non-traditional employment. However, there are some wonderful organizations here in Atlanta. Had a pleasure to meet with the business agent for the IBEW. They're very active and very strong in the community, and we would always want to mention the fact that this organization has been has a African-American female business agent who has been doing what she's been comfortable doing for the last 30 years, and she's putting not just the word out, but she puts her money where her mouth is. She's just not talking it. She's walking, and she's delivered a lot of women into the apprenticeship program and into electrical union. So with that being said, I want to share with you all some very good news regarding the Advancing Women in the Trades, Green Jobs, and Non-Traditional Occupations. As we all know, during the election, we had Bob the Builder and Joe the Plumber. And these images, they dominate us when the discussion of jobs being created through the AAR, which is the American Recovery Act, that was on the table. But through this perverse of stereotypes can be challenged through the opening door. So this is why we came up with Teresa the Tradeswoman. She will not be left out. We will not be left out. After shifting the conversation to ensure that women have equal opportunity to benefit from the federal investment infrastructure and jobs with the green industry requirements, national leaderships, a solid plan has been put into engagement with partnering with other organizations with the leaders of tradeswomen's movement throughout the country. And because the National Coalition of Women of Color and Construction believes in the seamlessness of an organization is the most critical part, because once you have a hole that's punched in any type of cloth, it becomes penetrable. So what that means for us is that during this draft that we've been able to be a part of with the U.S. Department of Labor, Chicago Women of Trades, Tradeswomen Now Tomorrow, would like to propose a one-in-a-day half meeting that's going to be established through tradeswomen training, advocacy, and support groups to meet with the representative of the U.S. Department of Labor and other federal agencies to address existing and potential efforts to ensure opportunities for women who enter and advance in non-traditional jobs in the green and the construction industry. This is a letter that was drafted by Lauren Sugarman of Chicago Women of Trades. It also states that this is a critical time to come together to advocate for women's inclusion in the new jobs that will be created through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act and the Green Jobs Act. The goal of this meeting would be able to establish a national level attention, strategy, program development, and oversight, which is very important for progress of tradeswomen, advancement in male-dominated blue-green-collar industries. Without this attention and a solid action plan, women's participation in and the opportunity to benefit from the investment in infrastructure, new jobs, and energy, weatherization, and retrofitting will only continue to reflect the low percentage of numbers of women currently in construction. And those percentages are very, very low, you guys. And so we have I want to go over what she's asked the Women's Bureau. Secretary Silas is very interested in what the tradeswomen are saying, and President Barack Obama has not forgotten about us, so I want to make sure we all understand that. But let me read this other section. It says the Women's Bureau plans to invite and support the attendance of approximately 10 to 12 representatives of tradeswomen groups, including those from New York, Chicago, Vermont, California, Oregon, Maine, Washington, D.C., Washington State, Atlanta, exactly, okay, and Ohio. This meeting proposed agenda could focus on the following issues and ideals. I'm reading this, but I just want to go back and really strategically let you all remember that if you look on our website, we actually have put the American Recovery Reinvestment Act and its language into the website so folks will be able to understand how to position themselves. Now, our job as a national organization is to make sure that we have a national audience because, as I said further earlier in the show, that we basically have no one who represents women of color on the national level. However, because of some great relationships that's been concurrently built with the organizations for the tradeswomen, these are some of the proposed agendas in which they are going to be focusing on, and we have been invited to the table for this particular representation of women of color, and this is a part of a strategic level of positioning on a national level. So I continue to impose on everyone that the coalition's mission, just because we're headquartered in Georgia, does not mean that we deal with a lot of the local politics here. And we try not to, because the world is a lot bigger than just being in Atlanta. The fight has to start at the White House. And then we need to deliver blows that are strategic and seamlessly with other organizations, so therefore there will be no opportunities for dissemination to go within the ranks. And that's what the basis of most of the discriminatory practices that all of us have experienced as women of color, no matter what our potentials are. And so with that being said, I want to go over real quickly and slowly the proposed agenda, and because they're very, very interested, not just interested, but we actually put our money where our mouth was when the election campaign. We made sure that our interest was placed in as a coalition of women of color in construction. Our interest was and has always been the result of our women of color being able to be successful in the process of the industry in various ways, and one of that is entrepreneurship. One of the things that I do like to promote is entrepreneurship and strategic strategies to align ourselves on a national, regional, and state and local level. I want to also continue to read through the objective for this particular movement that we're engaged in. And this is a solid plan that has been engaged with partnerships with leaders of tradeswomen's organizations. So this is the leaders of the founding bodies of these various tradeswomen organizations, which we are partnered up with throughout the country. But let's talk about these few little items that are very detrimental. There are about 12 items, and one of the things that we propose to do is strategies for a national, regional, state, and local approach to addressing barriers to women's greater participation in non-traditional jobs. Real simple. We have to come up with a retention level on how our approach is sustainability-wise on addressing women in general to get into non-traditional trades, but then there has to be a retention level for non-traditional retainage, because sadly enough, some of the programs that's been sought out in the past have fallen to the wayside. We have several programs in the South that have been administered, and now the women are not being funded because there was no retention level or strategies. All right. The other item is how federal agencies can support tradeswomen inclusion. Now, this is very critical to the Office of Contract and Compliance in regards to monitoring the complaints that do come in into effect. Now, the one thing that the National Coalition will do and has always done is been an advocate. We are working diligently to connect with a group of attorneys, organizations that will actually become our liaison for our members throughout the country and the world, and so that we'll be able to move objectively on issues that make sense to the masses. And now the few that are out there, we also look at those situations as well. Importance of linkage between federal agencies and with tradeswomen organizations, tradeswomen initiatives and activities. Real simple. The connection between the coalition, tradeswomen now, tomorrow, Chicago Women of Trades, Oregon tradeswomen. It has to be a seamlessness. And I continue to keep evading to the word seamlessness in our involvement with this particular movement. And this is the most critical part for all of us when it comes to the overall standpoint of the organization. Now, one of the other parts, and I want to just go through that, so I don't want to jump all over the place. I want to introduce a couple of our partners as well. But this came together collaboratively with Wider Opportunities for Women. Joanne Kronowski, which is the executive director in D.C., and I want to let everybody know their website is www.woonline.org, and they have been a part of this pathway for economic independence for women and girls for over 40 years. So we're in good partnership with sustainable organizations. And then this is also drafted by collaboration with Lauren Sugarman from Chicago Women of Trades, and their website is chicagowomenoftrades.org. Lauren Sugarman is the executive director. They're celebrating their 30 years. And then to make sure that everyone is inclusive with this, we would also want to let you know that the final part of this letter has been drafted, and the TNT organization has come together and decided how the structure of this particular letter and opportunity, because this is something that they asked us to do as tradeswomen, because as everyone knows, we are a second-generation contracting firm that comes from the concrete industry, and we are union signatory tradeswomen who finish concrete. So we are tradeswomen. The folks who founded this organization are tradeswomen. So in likeliness of everything else, there is a very good cohesion between our tradeswomen organizations and the National Coalition, because we have that particular cohesion from the beginning of our existence. So I want to share that with everybody. And I want to go back into the other points here. It says that best practice models for outreach and recruitment, assessment and preparation of female candidates for apprenticeship programs. All I can say is that as a coalition, one of the things that the coalition has done is become signatory to IATSE and the Carpenters Union. And with that being said, that makes us one of the most powerful organizations of business owner and tradeswomen collaboratively in the country. As everybody might know or don't know, that IATSE has been around since 1869, and the Brotherhood of Carpenters have been around. Well, everybody knows Jesus was a carpenter, so basically we're in good company. The other thing is that because we are signatory, we're able to promote and put candidates for apprenticeship programs into the apprenticeship directly. There's a direct insert for us and a retention level for the coalition. That's our mission. That's our goal. The best practice models for access to jobs and apprenticeship openings. One of the things that we are doing as collectively as the rest of the country is creating our own jobs, our own projects. Ideals for models for support, retention and advancement of tradeswomen. That is another goal that's been set a part of this proposed agenda. Expansion of Women in Apprenticeable and Non-Traditional Occupations Act, which is WANTU, which is the WANTU grant that was first initiated back about 12, 15 years ago through Lauren Sugarman's strong movement in involving women in construction. Okay, strategies for engaging labor and industrial leaders. Okay. Startup organizations and program development through technical assistance and capacity building grants. So therefore, now we have startup organizations will be able to utilize some of the stimulus money in the American Recovery Act profile to get capacity building grants so that organizations like the Coalition, which is technically a young, very young organization compared to somebody that's been around for 40 years, could actually pave the way. Technical assistance to apprenticeship programs, labor unions, and industry employers to improve recruitment, hiring, retention, and advancement opportunity for tradeswomen. Let me read that again. Our goal as a collective organizations together is to provide technical assistance to apprenticeship programs. That is very, very important. To labor unions and industry employers to improve recruitment, hiring, and retention for the advancement of opportunities for tradeswomen. Without technical assistance in the apprenticeship programs, the young women will fall to the wayside. It is a proven fact when you isolate somebody in a non-traditional or hostile environment without having anybody mentoring those young people or those women, period, it could be young or old, they would inevitably leave the apprenticeship. So one of the goals is to provide the technical assistance, labor unions, and industry employers. Now, the one thing that they have also mentioned is linkages to mega projects, major public work initiatives, which all federally funded projects state that women have a certain percentage of work that they must receive. Real simple, but that's not been exercised in the past 8 years because of the Bush administration and their crooked methods in reporting the contract and compliance of the projects. Now, one of the other things they were talking about is meeting and expanding existing goals for women participation in apprenticeship and construction. Meeting and expanding existing goals, because we have been stuck on 6.9% since Jimmy Carter. 1972 was the last time that an actual goal had been actually established. And ever since then, out of all the lobbying, the campaign, the presidencies, the Congress people that we've supported through the years, we are still at 6.9%. That is an atrocity, absolutely. And which now is my very, very favorite that we were able to utilize, and this is where I think the Coalition does very well when it talks to people and building sustainability and capacity, because we have built a relationship for 30 years, or actually 20 years, as tradeswomen with Lauren Sugarman, Chicago Women of Trades, and because she's one of the leaders in this, she was able to do something that we asked for to be represented in this draft, in this meeting, which is assuring equal representation of women of color in non-traditional trades. Assuring equal representation of women of color in non-traditional trades. That is a separate item that has been placed in this draft, in this proposal that is going to be delegated to the White House, to the Department of Labor, and the main cabinet. Very simple. The other thing is conducting national outreach campaigns to promote Teresa the Tradeswoman. Go online and kind of look at who Teresa the Tradeswoman is, and that's every woman that's been in any type of non-traditional employment. Real simple. This woman is a married woman with 5 kids, her husband's a tradesperson, has put her kids through one of the very best schools, and have worked with her husband to raise their family. Real simple. No different. This woman does not have horns growing out of her side. This is a woman that has a family and that has worked unconditionally to the top of her field. And last but not least, clearing house of materials and best practices. That is the most. This might be the last item, but it is the most crucial item that is out here, ladies and gentlemen. So, on behalf of the Chicago Women of Trades, Tradeswomen Now and Tomorrow, it is in its affiliates, apprentices, the opportunity to submit this proposal, and is confident that as challenging as the current economy is, this is the time to build a pipeline and ensure that women are ready and able to participate in rebuilding our infrastructure and our economy. a national meeting of key advocates, the new administration representatives, and federal agency will lead the way in sending a strong message about women's inclusion in non-traditional jobs and identifying the best practices to support that. Lauren Sugarman, Executive Director of Chicago Women in Trades. So I wanted that to be very, that's a very, very strong, very, very positive draft that has been presented, and I always try to make sure that through this show that we show where our partners and women like Lauren, who has been fighting the fight for years, because if it wasn't for God first, Lauren Sugarman second, my mama third, I don't know if we'd be here today. So I certainly want everybody to understand that this is a very tremendous part of, a very passionate part of my life in order to ensure that women, young women, get involved in the into the construction industry. So I'm going to take about a few minutes here and play Destiny Muhammad's Grace.
And calling, and the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders. I'm the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze on a warm summer's day. My face, I'm all you will ever need. All you'll ever
Destiny Muhammad with Grace and Harpist from the Hood. I want to share with everybody the new format for this broadcast. It is simply to become a news show. From time to time, we may have individuals that might come on, but this is particularly for information purposes. Information must flow freely in order for us to empower ourselves, our communities, our organizations, our children, our youth, everything that becomes a part of our infrastructure, which is information, getting the right information, is so critical at this stage, because right now you have all sorts of groups who are using scare tactics in order to keep their organization moving freely through this time. But I think this is the best time in the world, because this is a cleansing for all organizations, people, places, things, situations, our industry, its standards, its training, its specifics and details, its qualifications, how our instructors qualify our students, how our in terms of the trades are concerned. I think it's very important that the organizations who are using tactics like, and I always mention on the show, Akron Urban League, that Urban League has been taking money for years and never produced anything out of that program. The EDGE program in Ohio has never produced a bondable contractor, but they get millions of dollars each year, year after year, and not one contractor in Akron or Columbus is bonded or is a prime contractor. They have one contractors, and I can't mention the name, who's a black contractor, who still can't bid as a prime contractor and has been in this program for 10 years. One company has been around for 40 years, and they're still not bonded. So I'm going to move forward. That is why it's so important that the information about how things are done now is important, because you got organizations like the Akron Urban League, and you have organizations throughout the country, even some here in Georgia, are just it's a feeding frenzy. And to them, this is the last year for the last feed, and so therefore this is why you get this. So I'm going to move forward with the show, and I'm actually going to talk about Tradeswomen Now and Tomorrow, which is TNT. It is a national coalition of tradeswomen's organization and advocates. This organization is located at 1455 South Michigan, Suite 210 in Chicago, Illinois, and their website is tradeswomennow.org. And you'll be able to review some of the most positive individuals involved in this organization. You have a great deal of tradeswomen who have transitioned into the D.C. area. You have a very strong amount of women who are part of the IBEW, which is very strong and in their executive level. The electricians, I can honestly say, as far as their women are concerned, is very, very, very positive. It makes good sense to invest into the future. I'm just kind of going over a couple of the women that, a few women that's a part of the board for TNT. There's Nettie Dokes from Washington, which is an IBEW electrician. It's a part of Apprenticeship and Non-Traditional Employment of Women, which is an organization in Washington State, Department of Labor. And then there is another electrician, and this is very interesting. It's Karen O'Dell from Massachusetts. She is a part of the Coalition for Labor Union Women, which is CLUW. And then, again, you have Lynn Shaw from IBEW Electricians, which is out of California, that sits on the board. And then you also have a sister who is Carolyn Williams from Washington, D.C. She is the Director of Human Services and Department of International Brotherhood of Electrician Workers. So I like to use them as a very strong organization, because they have empowered their women in the apprenticeship and in the training on the board level. And this is where we need to be as organization heads and leaders in our organization. It's very critical that people say that when we advocate for women's inclusion, we need to know what we're advocating for, because the question is going to come up, and something that Nadine Levy from Upbuild Design, which is our youth coordinator for the Applied Science program for the Youth Build Foundation program that we have initiated on our own We've made some decisions to be the change and to change the face of contracting. So therefore, we have our own technique in terms of sustainability building the program. But she said to me that a lot of things as an architect, and she is one of 180 women of color architects in the entire United States that are AIA registered certified. They are registered architects, but they're not a part of the national registry, and they're not recognized without having their certification with the AIA. So therefore, there might be 2,000 of them, but this is where people do not pay in order to remain in their industry. And so this is one of the things that she has spoken to us, and this is why I thought the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction would be very good and partner with Tradeswomen Now and Tomorrow. And we've been very actively pursuing their initiatives and their goals. And one thing that we must do and what we have done is partner with them potentially on the level that they need our assistance in, opposed to trying to recreate the wheel. We'll be a part of the wheel. So one of the things that I wanted to share with you is that we have this IATSE signatory opportunity, or we're signatory. It's not even an opportunity. It's a real situation where now we were hosting a probably national conference for tradeswomen and women in non-traditional employment in October. And because we position ourselves correctly, we're able to allow our young people interest into the IATSE. And we're going to do a whole series, hopefully, with them to help show this what the outcome of working with the working as a union member of IATSE. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because a lot of young people don't understand the complexity of working in an industry that's paying anywhere between minimum $12.50 an hour and up to and over $27 an hour. So we need to share that information and how to get involved in this particular project that's on the agendas for the future, not just Metro Atlanta, but throughout the country, because once you become a member of any organization, you become a very viable person in society. So I want to share that part with you, and I'm going to go back to one of our last songs for the evening, which is Closer to Our Dreams. Thank you. right. Okay. Thank you. Welcome back to the show. And one of the things I want to share with you is something that Priscilla White from DeKalb County Purchasing has out for the local level. There is a, on May 21st, 2009, from 12:30 to 2 p.m., at the Maloof Center Auditorium at 1300 Commerce Drive, Decatur, Georgia, there is going to be a Lunch and Learn proposed HUD-funded projects in DeKalb. In this, you're going to learn that the HUD-funded infrastructure and facility projects anticipated in the next 12 months, so those projects will become transparent. Opportunity for small businesses to participate in these projects become transparent. And time frames for HUD-funded projects versus the stimulus HUD-funded projects. That's very interesting. And they have a speaker, Chris H. Morris, who is the director of DeKalb County Community Development. And you can contact the division at 404-371-4730. This is free and open to the public. They said to bring your bag lunch, desserts, and beverages are provided, and you can register by email at contract@co.decab.georgia.us or fax 404-371-2511, your name, email address, and number attending of this brown bag seminar. Priscilla White, administrative assistant for DeKalb County, gave us this. And then there's also on every second and fourth Tuesday in Decatur, Georgia, which is at the Maloof Administration Building at 1300 Commerce Drive, room 202, in Purchasing and Contracting Conference Room, that there is going to be a representative to assist in completing certification applications, questions about the LSBE ordinance, registering as a vendor, supplier with DeKalb County, how to do business with DeKalb County, proper bid RFP preparation techniques, and locating bid RFP requirements. And this is something that I was able to talk with her about, and I was very thankful that she gave us that information. I want to jump back into one thing that's very important to us and very dear is the American Recovery Act and American Recovery and Reinvestment Act related to employment of targeted workers on infrastructure projects. This is an explanatory purpose only, and the text was proposed in the amendment. And that amendment is in Section 112, Employment of Targeted Workers in Construction of the Infrastructure. And as I told you at the very beginning of the show, and as we get toward the very end of the show here, is to talk with you all very simply and give you the information. This format for the coalition is news-oriented details so that information will be passed seamlessly from organization to organization, so that anybody that is listening, that you can go back online, go to our website, which is ncwcc.org, and fall online and be able to look at some of these things that's been administered. And what I want to do is talk about exactly what this law says without me putting my two cents in. And it says, preference for projects generating employment in using funds made available in this act for infrastructure, including school construction, recipients must give preference to projects that commit to both of the following: attain each of the following employment-related objectives through contractual provisions with all construction employers working on the project. A, utilization to the maximum extent allowed by law of individuals registered in bona fide apprenticeship programs, registered with the U.S. Department of Labor or with a state apprenticeship agency recognized by the department. B, establish a specific minimum percentage of work hours no less than 15% to be performed by individuals residing in the same metropolitan statistical area or county as the project in question, and qualifying targeted workers hereafter defined as individuals in any of the following categories. And please make sure you understand these are the following categories that specifically speaks on that no less than 15% shall be performed by individuals residing. So they can bring in 80% of the folks, but then there's 15% that lives there can participate. Recently separated veterans, which is defined in Title 29 USC Code 2801, 49 paragraph B, or recent or present members of the reserve components of the armed forces. Number two, an individual who received an income or is a member of a family that received a total family income in relation to the family size that does not exceed 200% of the federal poverty level income standard after the 6 months prior application of the program. They have excluded child support payments, employment of unemployment compensation under Title 29 USC Code 28 paragraph 25A and old age survivors insurance benefits under this section of the Social Security Act. And number three, an individual meeting the definition of low income individual set forth in Title 29 USC Code 2801 25A or C through F, offenders, out of school youth. These are the folks that this particular draft is made for. It is also for individuals for whom the construction trades constitute non-traditional employment. Real simple, women. Establishment of project stabilization standards to promote prompt project completion, employment of targeted workers, and demonstrate the project will utilize a hiring or workforce development program undertaken in the partnership with entities that have a successful track record of identifying and recruiting targeted workers, implementing and operating workers' skills, training, and education programs, and placing targeted workers into sustained employment. And last but not least, the regulations of impaired targeted worker participation. It says no federal agency may create or enforce a regulation or other directive interpreting of this code 23 USC 112 to prohibit or otherwise impair efforts undertaken in the conformance of the terms of this section to increase the employment of targeted workers residing in the metropolitan area. In other words, don't disseminate this information. Don't recirculate the money back through like the state of Georgia does. Do not go past go. So all of this has been regulated through some of the discussions that were put in this draft January 21st in collaboration with the Tradeswomen Now and Tomorrow, its board. And then last but not least, we want to also thank the following people for working with the coalition. Nadine Levy with the Upbuild Design, which is an architectural firm that's LEED certified. Also want to thank Fiona Sherwing from Australia, Iluana Institute. Want to thank the individuals who have worked with the Youth Build diligently without, without asking for anything except for rolling up their sleeves. Usamaka Obiachi, Queen Brewster, and Reese Dillard. And so we want to make sure we reiterate that program runs for the youth each Tuesday at 10 o'clock with the kids getting out of school. We try to encourage you all to make sure that your kids become a part of something bigger than just sitting on the internet and co-oping. This is going to be a tremendous amount of work that the young people that are doing this. And so I want to make sure that everybody has that radio show number. It is 646-478-0286. Again, that is 646-478-0286. And I wanted to also thank our executive board, Ms. Maggie Freeman, our president of the national board, which is Janora Bowens. And also want to thank the present Southeastern Chair, Christine Hearns, CJ Heron Construction, and our new members who have joined the coalition, those individuals, and the Brotherhood of Carpenters, And our sponsor, which is MC Square, and CECI Services, who's a current sponsor for with the coalition. So with this show coming to a close, I want to share with everybody the last thing that Mario Coleman, which is our co-interim director for the Youth Bill, has put together a magnificent multimedia presentation. This brother is off the chain. That's the only thing I can say. He is the Barack Obama of the multimedia. He has promoted such a wonderful way to articulate to the youth some of the opportunities and to our potential partners and funders. He has spent countless hours in putting this up. He has a YouTube, Mr. Media, his personality and his passion for youth has been overwhelmingly very strong. The part that's very, very dear to my heart is that he doesn't have to do any of this. His kids are grown. And however, he has reached out to make sure that this Youth Bill program works in a model around the country. So it's going to actually be shooting, actually steering off in Nashville come June. One of the multimedia programs will be starting in Nashville, Tennessee, and he will be conducting that program for the remainder of about eight weeks. We want to thank him for all of his work, all of his tremendousness. He came here to Atlanta, spent countless hours in this office working on our presentation, editing the DVD. He's a very wonderful brother that has his very best interest at heart in moving forward strategically and professionally. So I want to really let everybody know his name is Mario Coleman. He is the interim executive director for the Youth Bill Multimedia. And I want to thank the people who have continued to put their work in the youth. And instead of being selfish and looking at the coalition, they're reaching back, because you cannot tell me that God does not bless those who blesses others. And that is why you'll see on the YouTube a charge to keep I have. The idea came out of birth with Nadine Levy and Mario speaking and talking with each other for about 4 or 5 hours. So we had a work session here a month ago, and now we're in reality working in the process of bringing together a tremendous amount of programs. We're also going to be having a visitor this week with Margaret Gardner from BCCI out of Chicago, Illinois. And wonderful sister's been around for 20-plus years, prime general contractor, woman of color, president of the Federation of Contractors, sharp, bonded, you know, real strong contractor, woman of color. I can't say no more than that. You know, we told her what we wanted to do here. She said, Kareem, I'll be there. Just let us know we're here. And so I want to thank her, and I definitely want to make sure that we thank our most important is that we thank God for this opportunity, for this blessing. I want to share with us, everybody, a charge to keep I have, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify who gave his son for my soul and fit for the sky. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That is 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. A charge to keep we have, ladies and gentlemen. And we want to thank you all for the show. We're going to close this out with Ayana. And you all have a very good night. Like a pig.
weeds or a nifty treat that you never want your mother to need. And finally, I found somebody who fit perfectly. You're everything that I dreamed you'd be. And I'll be what you need, cause I'm playing for keeps, baby. Let it out slowly, please. If it's a dream, don't pinch me, baby. Could you let me sleep?